B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Close to a bitches.
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
5-15-75.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
I'm the big scary man guy. Put a couple biscuits in the basket. They went top shelf where mama keeps the peanut butter and where I hide the porno.
Here we go. It's too good time. It's too good time. It's too good time. It's too good. Too good. Too good. Too good. Too good time. It's too good time. It's too good time. It's too good. Too good. Too good. Too good. Too good.
I'm gonna be so hungover at work tomorrow. I'm not gonna do anything.
Flames out of his mouth and ass.
Glaciers that are melting, they say that that is so full of that the glaciers are melting, Phil. You fucking ass.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We're the Dutcher and Rich Radio Program. Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. Rich, you're headed to Iceland.
Reykjavik, yes. Leaving there tonight, heading over there.
Just for the weekend?
Yep, be back on Sunday.
Jeez.
So it's like we get in, we fly out like late tonight and arrive at 6 a.m. It's like really, it's only like 5 hours to fly there. So it's closer than flying to Vegas.
5 hours?
Yeah, it's just a 5 hour flight.
That's the same as London, right?
No. London's like 6.5, I think.
Is it?
Yeah. It's closer to that. So okay. It's close because if you fly out to Vegas, it's about six and a half hours. So, I mean, it's almost like going to
Arizona for the night.
Yeah, like Arizona. So you're flying there. You get there at 6 a.m. But then, like Sunday, I'm leaving at 5 p.m., but I'm getting back here at 6 p.m. So, okay. Yeah, it's like a four-hour difference between the two. So we're getting there like we're going to – basically, I'm going to be landing around 2 a.m. local Boston time.
But then you have to stay up.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't, you're going to lose a day.
Well,
and you don't have many days over there.
No, we're kind of doing like a weird type of schedule because there's like the airport is almost an hour away from Reykjavik. And Reykjavik's the small town, which you can basically do by walking around. And I think you can just do it in a couple days. You see pretty much everything that's there. By the way, many Game of Thrones scenes.
Oh, sweet. All right.
Iceland,
I expect a full report then.
Oh, yeah. Like I've been sent all of these different one of the people I'm going with is like a big Game of Thrones guy, and he's like, here's like the 18 scenes that would take place between the airport and Reykjavik. Like along the way, you can see half the things that were filmed there. But no, along the way, like to the airport, from the airport to Reykjavik, there's that Blue Lagoon place that you see in all the movies. So I'm basically going there just to wake myself up, and then we're going to Reykjavik and sleeping for most of the day until we go out tomorrow night. So that's, yeah, I mean, it's a weird schedule. But it's only 4 hours off, and it's shocking how close it is to here. It's the Arctic Circle. I mean, you're at the Arctic Circle when you're up there. I don't know if I'll see the lights.
Northern lights?
The Northern Lights. I think I just missed it. I think it ended like a couple of weeks ago.
Mm.
But it's still going to be like 40-something degrees while you're there. It's still going to be extremely cold. But yes, I will be going there tonight.
All right. So is there an update on Pasta Joe?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. We have audio?
Yep, we do.
Oh, good.
Yep. Bird stopped by on the way in.
All right, so Bird went by, and Pasta Joe, he is on the home stretch.
Yeah, he has been there since 11:30 on Tuesday. So not quite a full 2 days yet, but almost there. And he has not cheated. He has not left. He's, gotten up and walked around, but he has not, like, left the premises of the movie theater. I guess there have been some people who have done that. All not right. Pasta Joe. He stuck it out for the good fight. The one thing I don't know, Bert, and you were there. Do you know how many people are actually in the theater? Like, it's not sold out, is it?
No.
Okay.
No. So I think we're actually in the theater, but I asked Pasta Joe. There's a decent amount of seats filled.
Okay, so you were like 50% of the seats?
Yeah, give or take, yes.
Well, still, okay, then that's probably like 100 people.
Yes.
Do you imagine that?
No.
Like 100 people sitting there for, what did they say, 56 hours?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it's like their marathon.
I mean, it is.
It's a very unhealthy marathon.
I guess so.
But so Pasta Joe probably now has, so when does the end happen?
Okay, so Avengers Endgame, it all ends with the first showing of Avengers Endgame, like for the public to see, and that is at 5 p.m. And then it's over at like, 8:30 or
however long the movie is. All right, so he's in the home stretch. So, Savory movie is 2.5 hours. So, let's see, 8:30, then so on and so forth. So, how many movies would you say are left?
He's probably got like 6 movies left.
Okay,
like 12 hours. Yeah, or maybe 5, 6.
Because I started following him on Twitter, and he goes, I'm having drinks. And then he goes, I'm having drinks. And then you go, oh, yeah, okay. And he goes, this is actually really fun. And then the next one is, I had too many drinks.
I've had a 200-ounce bucket of popcorn.
Okay. So that's by volume, apparently. And that's the size of a bucket that you would put, like, refuge in.
Yeah,
like,
it's a huge bucket. It's
a commemorative bucket.
Laundry like, bucket.
Yeah, they're for the hardcore fans. They know where the money is. They know their audience. They know that those are the people that are going to buy that.
So I don't know if you've been following him on Twitter, but
That's what I'm saying is I have.
Okay, well, have you seen my two favorite tweets of the entire marathon? We're back-to-back 6 hours and 5 hours ago. So that would be at midnight and at 1 a.m. At midnight, he just tweeted, I'm still here. And then at 1 in the morning, he tweeted a photo of himself and just put, it's hurting now. Look at this picture of his face. Wallach. It's him, just like this like sad face. It says it's hurting now.
You got to tweet that.
Can
out.
You imagine?
I think I did.
You being by yourself, just in a movie theater for 3 days.
I mean,
in the dark, just sitting there.
But it's no different for him. It's either in the dark in a movie theater or in the dark in his living room. It doesn't matter. It's the same thing.
You're sitting up. It's like being on a 3-day flight. It just keeps happening.
I mean,
there's a bar there, and apparently he experienced that.
Okay.
And then he'll put like buffalo chicken tenders.
Yeah, just take a picture of his tenders.
Yeah, and there's a lot of updates. If you don't, what's his Twitter address?
Okay,
Rich?
It's pasta_joe24. I've retweeted. I retweeted that last one where he's just his face and it's hurting now.
Yeah,
which is great
because he's in incredible pain.
It's great. He goes, as you said, having a drink at the theater bar, then too many drinks is the second tweet after that.
Yeah, because the next one is like he's having a great time he's like buzzed.
Obviously a great time.
And so he basically has 14 and a half hours left. That's nothing. He's on the home stretch.
It's hurting now. Yeah, he's almost there.
You know how much he's going to hate the Avengers when this is over? He's going to get PTSD when this is all said and done. Yeah, he's going to hate the Avengers.
Okay, he did tweet that 17 movies have finished. So that means 18, 19, 20, 21. So he's got like 5 movies left. Yeah, 5 movies left.
So he's watched how many?
17. 17 movies.
So he's 5 plus the last one.
No. No, it'd be 4 plus because you got number 18, number 19, number 20. You're right. So it's 5 plus. Yeah, so 6.
6 to go.
6 to go.
Only 6 movies.
Yeah.
When did he tweet that? That he had
27 minutes ago.
All right. So he's got, 6 movies left.
Thor Ragnarok just finished.
So it's only 14 more hours of movies.
So he has, I guess, Black Panther, I'm guessing. He's probably got the Spider-Man. No. Black Panther, and then he's got the Infinity War, Captain Marvel, and I forget which other one I'm missing, which is one of the more recent ones. Oh, Ant-Man and Wasp. Yeah. I love the fact. I mean, that picture says it all. It's just, it looks like he's fading away. If somebody told me that was someone on their deathbed, I would have believed you.
Starting to hurt.
The good news is that, I mean, they're treating him really nice. Like, they're giving him anything he wants, like food and all that. Well, you know, either
buffalo chicken
tenders. Buffalo chicken tenders and the seats at least are comfortable. But he's one of the few guys who's not getting up and leaving for, like, you know, several hours and coming back. He is sticking with it.
No, he gets up and he, like, I mean, he goes outside occasionally and he'll go and, you know, have some drinks at the bar. I wonder if the bar is open all night.
I doubt they do that. I mean, they've got to keep the concession stand open. There's probably one person at the concession stand, like at the dark hours, you know, like when it's between like midnight and 6 a.m.
You're the bartender. You get that shift. You get the 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. You know, it's not like you're living off tips. I mean, what short straw did you draw to pull that duty?
So it's Imposter Joe's not the hero we need. He's the hero we need, not the hero we deserve.
Yeah.
He's doing it for America.
Buffalo chicken tenders.
I've had a 200-ounce bucket of popcorn.
Popcorn.
Yeah.
That didn't agree with him, though. He didn't like that. He didn't like that popcorn. All right, Rich, what's coming up in the old, what happened last night?
Man, everything is coming up, Bruins. We will get to that.
All right. Well, we will be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Up. Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on Twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Be listening this morning at 7:50. For your chance to score a pair of tickets to the watch, the Bruins face Columbus in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference semifinals tonight at the Garden. Experience the excitement of Bruins playoff hockey. Get tickets at Ticketmaster.com/Bruins.
And everything is just coming up, Bruins.
To the corner now, Orlov for Niskanen. Shouldered by Williams to the point. Cradled by Slavin through the slot. And back up Teravainen and Williams.
Marilyn Manson fan. Creepy. Hey, what do you say?
See, I was thinking of the Spies Like Us theme song.
Well,
hey, what do you say? No one else can look that way.
Paul McCartney.
So there's all of us.
What's the...
Ain't nobody like Spies Like Us.
Worst song
how did they
ever.
Get? How did Spies Like Us get Paul McCartney to do the theme?
I don't know. Because it was the superstars of Saturday Night Live working together.
It's like a wacky madcap comedy. Somehow got a Beatle.
That and the Secretary song are the two worst songs he's ever written.
Oh, the Secretary song is the worst. I saw him at Fenway, and I had never even heard that song before. It was called, like, Automatic.
No, it's something that rhymes with Secretary.
Oh, yeah. Temporary Secretary.
Okay.
That's like the biggest piece of garbage that any artist has ever
written. That and Spies Like Us were written by the lead singer of the Beatles.
See, Spies Like Us isn't like a bad song. Just like, how did they get a Beatle to do it? It would be like Loose Cannons, you know, getting like, you know, Robert Plant to do a song. I don't know. But either way, in double overtime, the defending champions.
See, I think you just freaked out to think of Manson.
I don't even know which song you're talking about.
What song is it where he goes, hey, what do you say? It is a Manson song.
Are you talking about the Beautiful People?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what do you say?
They're probably too freaked out.
It is kind of spooky.
He probably just freaked out by me.
I remember I saw him, the first time I saw him, Marilyn Manson, he was opening up for Nine Inch Nails in the Downward Spiral tour. And I guess that was kind of like his, not protege, but I think he signed Marilyn Manson. And everyone in the crowd was laughing at how hard he was trying to spook everyone out. I see a lot of children out there. How would you like to be grabbed? And he was like, oh my God, you are just the worst.
He's so scary, that nerd.
All that being said, like, his live shows later on when he had money were amazing.
Well, I saw the one where he, because I, you know, had to broadcast from home, where he went up in the air.
Oh, that was awesome. Like, in the middle of it, he just, like, really, he looked like this giant dictator. And by the end of it, he had this gigantic, like, trench coat thing, and he was at the top of the arena. That was nuts.
He was like a nerd and like a goth kid at the top of the arena.
World's biggest goth kid. This is that song you were talking about, Temporary Secondary. Jesus. I mean, this is a Paul McCartney song.
Twisting locks, can you find for me someone strong and sweet?
And he
just
played it
like right when that technology came out.
Oh, yeah, like fax machines.
Yeah, like everyone started like experimenting. That's got to be early 80s, right?
It's got to be like 87.
See, I'm going to say it's earlier than that because when that technology came out, a lot of people made some mistakes.
Maybe they did.
Hey, I'm a total nerd. Where are the children?
I see a lot of children out there. How would you like to be touched? And you're like, oh, you'll haunt my nightmares forever.
How would you like to play Dungeons and Dragons in my basement?
Well, in double OT, the defending champions, the Washington Capitals, go down. And more importantly, Braden Holtby, the thorn in the Bruins' side, goes down as well. Carolina advances. So think about it. If you were the Boston Bruins' Thanos at the beginning of the playoffs and one snap could make two things disappear, it would be the Tampa Bay Lightning and Braden Holtby. And now both are gone and the door is wide open for a Stanley Cup run.
Yeah, if they don't make the Stanley Cup Finals, it's a disappointment now.
Sure.
A massive disappointment.
They should. I mean, there's
the best team left.
There's no excuse.
They should be favored in every series they play from now on. Yeah, and that includes the Stanley Cup Finals.
There's no excuse.
And they have home ice for the rest of the playoffs.
Right.
No matter who they play. And it's the first time in NHL history that all the division winners lost in the first round. I mean, you want to get nuts, let's get nuts. So the teams left are the Bruins, in the Bruins' way to the Stanley Cup Final. You got the Blue Jackets, you've got the Hurricanes, and the Islanders. Who would have ever expected any of this? So what we also learned last night is the official schedule of round two for the Bruins. So you're going to have game one tonight at 7 p.m., Saturday night at 8 o'clock, and then you go Tuesday, so you have to wait 2 days for the Columbus game, or in Columbus, at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. Then it goes Thursday at 7:30, Saturday 7:15, Monday, and then Wednesday for game seven. Those times to be announced. By the way, we're going to have tickets, as Fred mentioned earlier, to tonight's game at the TD Garden, game one of the Bruins series against the Blue Jackets. It'll be at 7:50. And speaking of schedules, we also now finally know the schedule of the Celtics-Bucks series. It's going to start this Sunday at 1 p.m. in Milwaukee, and then they go Sunday, Friday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Monday. So what does that mean as far as your viewing experience with both teams playing at the same time? That means for the Celtics, games 2, 4, and 5 are scheduled on the same day as the Bruins. Neither at the Garden on the same day, so no doubleheader. And seeing that all three are during the week, you're more than likely going to be using the channel flipper for all three games. Now, every once in a while, I know they did this last series, I think at one time, maybe it was two, you had a 7 o'clock, because more than likely the Bruins is going to start at 7. And sometimes you get that 8:30 tip-off, and I know Milwaukee, being an hour behind,
you're going to get that stagger.
Maybe. Who knows? I don't know how they're going to schedule all this, but having a 7 and an 8:30 is not that bad. It actually usually works out pretty well.
Celtics conflict with the Bruins in game 6 and 7 of this series.
The Bruins series. Yes. Yeah, that is correct. So yesterday, Brad Stevens, he was asked about the health of Mr. Marcus Smart amidst reports that he has been running close to full speed on a treadmill.
Did you get a chance to see how Marcus got through his treadmill work and reflections?
I just walked back there and they said he's doing great, but I didn't get any more than that. I might be not asking on purpose, though.
Yeah. Are you trying not to get your hopes up?
I'm just not a doctor, so I don't want to act like I am.
He is very good about underplaying the health of some of his players. He doesn't want to get people all hyped up. And, I mean, he's the one guy that never once, despite even having Danny Ainge on the show, say positive things about Gordon Hayward all last year. You know, Brad Stevens is never one to make it sound like someone's going to come back earlier than they were supposed to. However, he was also asked about attending the Bruins game the other night, and he had a ton to say about that.
How about those Bruins?
Yeah, that was great. It was fun.
How about those Bruins?
Who was it who asked that was it Belichick? Somebody asked one of the head coaches, how about those Red Sox?
Hey, how about those Sox?
Yeah, that's right. How about those Sox?
You sound like Kermit, whoever that was.
Hey, how about those Sox?
Whoever says, how about those Bruins?
Well, reporters, apparently.
Wait, what are you, is it 1920 where you're asking the kid on the corner?
Hey.
How about those Bruins?
I just like Brad Stevens doing his best Pasta Joe impression there. Hey, how about those Bruins?
Yeah.
How about them? Great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Enjoying those, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Kyrie Irving was asked yesterday about his leadership and whether winning in the postseason with the Celtics could solidify his status as the unofficial team captain.
Just doing what I'm supposed to be doing. That's growing as a player. I'm growing as a person, first and foremost. I don't think leadership needs the type of light or recognition or validation from anyone, you know. So I'm just going to go out, you know, do my job as a basketball player, be the best that I can be the best player on the floor every time I step on there, and you know, go for the win.
Mm-hmm. Have no problem with that. It's funny how you almost have to judge everything he says as to whether you have a problem with it, because it's been so scattered throughout the end of the season. Well, Kyrie Irving was also asked yesterday about the matchup with Giannis Antetokounmpo.
He's very, very efficient in the paint. I mean, you know, every team has done a great job of trying to limit him from getting the majority of his points in the paint. He keeps going back to it. So credit to how special he is as an inside presence. But other guys, we just got to limit them and make it tough on them as well. And just stay together as a group, especially on the road.
So there's going to be a lot of talk leading up to this Celtics series about what their regular season record was against the Milwaukee Bucks. They are 1-2. But I went back and looked, and Boston was injured through most of those games. As a matter of fact, during the first matchup, which they won, so it doesn't really even matter. I mean, they didn't have Jaylen Brown, so whatever. Jaylen Brown wasn't there. That doesn't matter as much. However, the second matchup, which was a 13-point loss.
And Milwaukee scored 120 points that night.
Yeah, and you know who they were missing?
Al Horford.
Their best defensive players.
Yeah.
Al Horford and Aaron Baines. And
yep.
Marcus Morris.
Yep.
So, I mean, you had two starters and, you know, a pretty good piece were out at that time. And during the third matchup, which they only lost by one, they were missing Aaron Baines, a starter, and Gordon Hayward. So,
well, Grandy sat in here a couple of days ago and basically said what you were saying, in that it's hard to focus on the regular season at all.
Yeah.
When you just look at the best way to analyze this series is to look at how good Milwaukee's been for the breadth of the entire season. And they've been phenomenal. They're the best offensive team in the NBA during the regular season. I mean, they are really, really good. It's not like last year. Last year, you saw a flawed Milwaukee team come in here, and it took the Celtics 7 games to beat them. Now, both teams have gotten a lot better since that 7-game series, but Milwaukee's role players have gotten a lot better. Eric Bledsoe specifically has gotten a lot better. And I keep harping on Malcolm Brogdon. Brogdon's a real valuable piece of his team. If they're able to get him back, that changes the series.
They've been pretty good at quieting Kyrie Irving. Like, if you look at Kyrie Irving's, like, just his individual stats when they played Milwaukee this year, they've done a pretty good job. I don't want to say shutting him down, but quieting him. And he's obviously, we know, in the playoffs going to be super important, but they've never really played this. That's why this series is so fascinating, because no one really knows. They haven't seen these two teams as constituted play each other, and especially the Celtics, who are healthy other than Marcus Smart. I mean, I think it's going to go the distance, just because, as you mentioned, this is a team that has been just dominant the entire year. But then you look at what they've been able to scrap together over the Celtics over the last several weeks. And it's
they look
be a good
like
one.
The team we thought they were going to look like right at the beginning of the year.
It does. Yeah. And then they're definitely deeper. But Milwaukee's got the MVP. So either way, I think this one's going 7 games. I can't predict who's going to win. I think it's going to be the Celtics, but who knows at this point? It'll be a great series.
All right, so we'll be right back. Rich, what we talk about?
Speaking of things getting easier for the Bruins, maybe, just maybe, things might be getting easier for the Celtics and the rest of the NBA.
All right, here are the headlines.
98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich.
Buddy, I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Be listening at 6:50 this morning for your chance to score a four-pack of vouchers to see the Avengers Endgame, Marvel Studios' grand conclusion to 22 films, courtesy of Fandango. But just warn yourself. You're going to be emotionally drained at the end of it.
is this a forever thing, or is this just like a temporary thing?
What, forever? What do you? I mean, the Avengers is going to go away. But every movie he sees from now on, if he says something off the air, I'm going to ask him if he's okay.
Okay.
Or if he's emotionally drained.
All right.
He's invested so much time.
Okay.
So emotional. All right, Rich, what's going on?
Well, dare I say it, but the Warriors look a little beatable.
Williams with a jumper. It's good, and a touch foul called on Kevin Durant. It's a three, and the Clippers go back up by two.
Yep, after one dud postseason after the next, Doc Rivers is finally doing something kind of special with the Clippers as they once again stave off what most people thought was the inevitable elimination by the Golden State Warriors, winning their second game of the series 129-121. Now, the Warriors still lead 3-2, but just to paint a picture at how absurd all of this is, the Warriors have lost 3 home playoff games total with Kevin Durant, and 2 of those games are in this series. Now, talk about a feel-good moment for basketball fans everywhere if they get knocked off. But what a nightmare for the TV networks if the Warriors get bounced in the first round and LeBron James isn't playing as well. I mean, just think about that. Hey, you like Portland, do you? You know, I was thinking about that. Dame Lillard, what he's been able to do. If he was, like, playing anywhere else other than Portland, wouldn't he be a megastar?
Yeah.
That's why he's, you know, widely considered the most underrated player in the league.
I mean, I don't think there's a question.
Has been for years. He doesn't have nearly the amount of all-star selections you would think. He was always the last guy cut from getting onto the bench for the all-star game. He's never been voted a starter, I don't believe. And as for Golden State, I watched some of that game. They just don't care. I mean, they're just assuming they're going to coast by, and they probably will. They'll probably go back to L.A. and beat the Clippers and make the second round and go on from there. They've played so much basketball in the last 5 years. I just think they don't care at this point.
Well, I think that you're half right. I think that they don't care until they have to care.
Well, yeah, so, okay. I guess that was what I was trying to say.
I think it's one of those things where you're right. The next game, they're going to win by like 30.
Yeah, okay. I don't want to go to a game 7. Maybe we get ourselves a couple of days off. It's time to win.
But there's something lingering in the back of their head right now, and that is the 3-1 lead that they had, because they've become a joke. You heard Joel Embiid the other day when they were up 3-1. They say, we don't want to be a blow it 3-1 right. like the Warriors did. Like, it's become like that's the cliche joke.
Yeah, but
so after that loss, they're probably like, all right, we're going to murder these guys.
Yeah, and they can flip it on whenever they really need to. And if I'm the Golden State Warriors and you hear Joel Embiid say that, I said, how many rings do we have again? How many rings do you have? You know, talking to Joel Embiid, Golden State will be there at the end. They're just too good not to. I mean, the talent they have assembled on that roster. Now, they may lose that talent next year, this summer, but for now, the talent they have assembled on that roster, they should be able to sleepwalk until at least a Western Conference Finals.
Fred, I heard something kind of interesting yesterday because, you know, Portland, we're talking about Dame Lillard and how he had that ridiculous 3-point shot.
A bad shot, by the way.
Well, I mean, whatever about a bad shot. It's not a bad shot if it goes in.
I understand. Everyone,
like Paul George saying it's a bad shot.
He's
like,
right.
Okay. No, it's a shot that there's no problem. I have no problem with how he defended that.
He lost 40. He lost track of time and jacked up a 40-footer that happened to go in. If he was behind, that would have been even worse, but he could afford to do that because the game was tied.
If you're standing 10 feet behind the 3-point line and you shuck it up, then what Paul George did, not being right in his face, I have no problem with. I mean, you know, you take that risk. However, to call it a bad shot over and over at the press conference when the thing went in, it's like, shut up.
It was a bad
shot. Shut up. Your team just got lost
now,
like,
that's
four
true,
games to one.
It was a bad shot.
Okay, so Russell Westbrook, and you know that he, ever since Kevin Durant's been gone, and I'm so glad all this is happening to Russell Westbrook because he has just been an absolute prick as of late. He has not only been knocked out the first round of every playoff series since Kevin Durant left, but I heard some ridiculous stat yesterday that apparently in all but like one of his playoff games that he has had since Durant left, he shot under, I think he shot like 30% or something like that. So he's scored a bunch, but he's missing an ass load of shots. Like, the pure volume of the shots he's taking and his inefficiency is mind-blowing.
Yeah, they play meatball. Like, him and Paul George try to rack up. I mean, I've heard this complaint about them a bunch.
But Paul George has been good, though. Like, I mean,
but they're both trying to rack up personal numbers. I mean, they're not concerned with the team. Go ahead.
Russell Westbrook has averaged a triple-double for each of the last 3 years after one guy doing it once in the history of the NBA. I mean, that's unprecedented. And people look back at this and forget about, you're right about the meatball. I mean, Russell Westbrook, if you watch Oklahoma City, it's him with the basketball 80% of the time and 19% of the time Paul George gets it. But he's averaged a triple-double for three straight seasons. And I forget where I was reading this last night. Apparently his teammates love him. It might have been in one of the Oklahoma City papers. Apparently his teammates love him and swear by him. But now there's a narrative that, you know, LeBron James could have done this at any point. He could average a triple-double whenever he wanted to.
Sure, but he became a good facilitator.
But he knew what was more important. He knew he could have averaged a triple-double. He's that good a player. But he made sure that other people got the basketball so that they could win championships. That's what Russell Westbrook needs to do.
Right.
Is give the ball to other people. I mean, hell, even Jordan knew it for a while. You had to pass to Paxson for a game-winning three to win a championship. I mean, there comes a time where you have to give up the basketball for the better of a team. And finally, I think Thunder fans are leaning in that direction.
Well, yeah. when that rapper died and he wanted to get all 20s, and he just went out and what did he got 20-20.
Oh, Westbrook, he wanted to do it for Nipsey Hussle.
Yes, that's
Nipsey
right. Hussle. That's right.
I mean, he just went out
that's
and
right.
did it.
Yeah, right. I mean, he's...
Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Right, yeah. It's almost the Carmelo Anthony method. Just throw up a million balls and then you're eventually going to get a high score.
No, his entire intention for that game was to put those numbers
right.
up.
Right.
I mean, that was his only concern.
And good for him, he's that good. But in the end, ultimately, you have to give up the ball.
Well, you're good, but, I mean, you're not winning.
Right.
And so I'd rather have guys that win than a guy that can put up numbers.
and that's kind of the problem that they have right now in Oklahoma City. And to be honest, I was a fan of Russell Westbrook's when he decided to stay in Oklahoma City. I thought that was a great thing to do. Wow, you have the superstar player who's going to stay in a small market. It was kind of an FU to Kevin Durant chasing rings. I liked that. But, man, that guy has just become just the most self-centered a-hole. Oh, when he started talking about that kid who, like, touched him, like, courtside, I think that was the moment I was like, all right, dude, enough. Get over yourself.
Yeah.
And then shutting out that one reporter is, you know, next question. And then infecting Paul George with that as well. I don't think Paul George was ever that guy.
Well, Paul George obviously is, like, an easily manipulated child. All right, we'll be right back. Your chance at Avengers tickets.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
98.5 The Sports Hub, or Tutcher and Rich, car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a four-pack of vouchers to see Avengers Endgame, Marvel Studios' grand conclusion to 22 films. Emotionally exhausting, according to young Nicholas, courtesy of Fandango.
I just got the news. Jake DeBrusk joining us this morning at 9:20.
There you go.
9:20, he'll be on the show.
Crappy game tonight.
Maybe that's the way it's been working as of late. Well, after a sea of garbage that the Red Sox have been sailing on as of late, yesterday they looked like the team that last year won 108 games.
So the Red Sox add on Benintendi now. He'll hit a slicer down the line out of the warning track. That'll bring in another run. Vasquez to score. Benintendi to second base. 6-1 Sox.
That is Nesson. 11-4 the final score over the Tigers. All nine Red Sox in the starting lineup reached base multiple times. And Eck seemed to love the fact that the Red Sox kept getting walked with the bases loaded.
And he walked him, and that'll force in a run. And another walk with the bases loaded. Here comes Mookie Betts. Mookie will score for the second time tonight, and it is 8-1 Boston.
It's a carousel.
And he walked him. And another run coming home. Mitch Moreland trotting in. And the Red Sox have turned this into a laugher because Verhagen cannot throw strikes.
This is pathetic.
That happened back-to-back-to-back in the eighth inning.
By the way,
you took 1-3 against the Tigers. Good job, guys.
I was watching the Carolina-Washington game last night, so I didn't watch all the Red Sox game, but somebody said that at one point, Dennis Eckersley said, I want to get sexy. I want to punch everybody out.
That's what you have to do to press the leash. You punch everyone out, and then the girls fall into your arms. And you go, ooh la la, ladies, exit stage left.
Chicks dig the punch out. If anybody knows what inning that was, let me know, because I want to go back and find that sound clip. Because he just wants to get sexy. That's
he
all
does. He's very excited that they took 1-3 from a terrible Tigers team.
Well, on top of that, Erod was excellent. 6 strong innings, allowing just 1 run on 2 hits while walking 3 and striking out 7. And one of the reasons he may have pitched so well yesterday is because it sounds like he got some advice from Mr. Fix-It.
And it's funny because 4 days ago, I was talking with Petey on the dugout, and he told me, hey, you wanna throw a really good breaking ball? And I said, yeah, bro, I've been battled to throw breaking balls since I got here in the big league. I mean, since I was in the minor league. And he told me, hold the ball like this and throw it like that. And 2 days ago, I started throwing it with my knee over there. And it's funny because I'm the first time I throw that kind of breaking ball today, and it was working. So I just got to say thanks to him.
Dustin Pedroia, Mr. Fix-It.
That's right. He's telling a guy who's pitched his entire life and worked with the best coaches in baseball. And it took Pedroia to tell him how to throw a breaking ball.
Apparently it worked. Didn't Dustin Pedroia also last year say someone was tipping their pitches?
David Price was tipping his pitches.
When you don't play, it's pretty easy to get in there.
That's true, and I find that utterly amazing. All the videotape that Dana Lavangi has at his disposal, don't they have an assisting pitching coach as well?
They have all of these guys.
They got a squadron of people with reams and reams of video, and none of them saw this.
It's just Dustin Pedroia. He's the one.
It's amazing.
I wonder if they're all just like to bust his balls making up fake stories about Dustin Pedroia.
I would think that's more likely than he told him how to throw a breaking ball. That he changed his grip on a breaking ball.
How funny would that be that they're all just kind of like, all right, dude, stop hanging around.
They feel sorry for him.
That's right. Let's just say he's doing amazing things.
No one wants to talk to the media, so like, you're not playing. Let's just send everyone to Petey's locker.
Yeah. And he bakes an amazing souffle before every game he comes in here.
Did you hear he saved a sick child from a burning building last night?
Listen, I thought I had broken my leg, but Dustin Pedroia came in, clapped his hands, rubbed them together, and then next thing I know, I'm sweeping the leg.
Next thing you know, you're taking 1-3 from the Tigers and the Motor City Kitties.
Hey, they were 500 coming in. Come on now.
Yep, and that's going to last the whole season.
That's right. They have one more chance at him tonight. So,
God bless them. Well, hopefully you can tie the series.
Well, after hearing this news, Tom Brady has got to be just incredulous about the amount of... I mean, if he doesn't get anything close to this, then there's something wrong. Because Ben Roethlisberger just got a 2-year extension worth $68 million and includes a $37.5 million signing bonus and an additional $30 million in injury guarantees. I mean...
And he's 37.
Yeah, they just said, whatever you want, it's yours. He had a 1-year deal at $12 million left, and now he's got 3 at $80 million. 67 of that is guaranteed. So if you're Tom Brady and you see what he got and you see what Russell Wilson got and all these, especially Roethlisberger, that's the most comparable one of all of these. And you don't get that, then you're getting effed. I mean, you are getting absolutely screwed.
You gotta take it for the team.
He's been taken for the team.
I was just going to say,
his whole career.
He's been doing that for a decade and a half.
For the team. Don't be selfish.
I mean, at some point, just get paid. Mm-hmm. Somebody said, are we sure E-Rod isn't talking about Pedro when he says Petey? No, he was talking about Pedroia.
No, it was definitely Pedroia.
It was clarified. He's, I mean, listen, you know, Pedro. Pedro can talk all he wants. He's never going to come up with the genius that Dustin Pedroia does.
No.
Come up with
the here's how you hold. Here's how you grip the ball if you want to throw the breaking ball. You want to throw the two sacks breaking ball.
And that's what he calls it.
Oh, yeah.
The two sacks breaking ball.
The two sacker?
There's one sack to two sack. That's how it breaks.
Right across the plate. Yeah.
No, it breaks. Yeah, right by your balls.
Yeah.
Goes to one sack, and then it hits the other side of the sack.
Well, according to the odds, it looks like Kyler Murray is still favored to go first, but the odds are dipping. Don't believe it. He's going to go first. According to David Purdom of ESPN.com, if you take a look at where Vegas stands, Murray's odds were minus 1,200, which means you'd have to bet $1,200 to win 100. But now they're down to minus 400 this morning. Ohio State's Nick Bosa, second on the list at plus 350, so Murray remains a fairly significant favorite. What was the deal about this charity event that he was supposed to attend, and he ended up blowing it off because he had other obligations?
Yeah, he didn't show up.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know whether or not this is a concerted effort to try to make his value go down or make him fall in the draft, but there have been a ton of stories as of late.
Doesn't want to go to Arizona.
Well, I mean, it's draft day.
I know.
He didn't read the playbook.
Doesn't want to go to Arizona.
I mean, listen, I don't know.
Before you get it, you know, the Eli Mannings of the world. Yeah, you force a trade.
Eli straight up like, I'm not playing for San Diego. Yeah. I don't want to play for San Diego. I don't draft me.
Yep.
He got his way.
He did.
They said with less
Drew Brees, right? That was the situation.
I thought it was it Brees or Rivers?
It was Brees. No, Rivers? Well, no, Brees was with the Chargers.
No, yes, he was, but as a result, Rivers got drafted and traded.
Okay.
I'm trying to think if that's right.
All I know is that it can't be that big of an age difference, and Brees was the quarterback at San Diego, but you would know better than me, John.
So Kyler Murray was
not
scheduled
true,
to be at an event charity, a charity event on Wednesday. But he ended up being a no-show. He missed the morning event because he didn't arrive in Nashville until just after 1 o'clock. A report from the Arizona Republic painted a fairly unflattering picture. According to them, the reason that Murray didn't show up to the event is simply because he, quote, had other places to be. So, no specification as to where that was.
He just had to dance.
He just got to dance, baby.
He's like, I just got to dance.
Mm-hmm.
You get in my head. So, yes, if Kyler Murray goes first, then I don't think anyone's going to be able to trade down. So you got that going.
I just don't want it to happen. I want to see the chaos that ensues if Murray does not go first.
Well, then San Francisco gets then do you make the trade with San Francisco because you know they're not going to take a quarterback?
That's what I'm saying. Washington desperately wants to grab a quarterback. That's what I keep reading the last 3 days, that the Redskins want a quarterback and are willing to do just about anything to jump up and get one. I mean, they have, I guess, 4 picks in the first 2 rounds. You trade all 4 of them to try and get in the top 5 to grab a quarterback. If Kyler Murray falls to 3 or 4, I mean, that's the intrigue.
Dan and I had heard the same thing, and that is that I guess Dan Snyder is taking over the whole draft.
Yeah. Like, no, he's taking control. Screw the GM, screw the head coaches, screw everybody. Dan Snyder is in control.
Is there a worse human being on the planet than Dan Snyder? I mean, can you imagine being a Redskins fan and you have that moron walking around making stupid decisions?
Who'd you rather have, James Dolan or Snyder as like the head of your favorite team?
Well, Snyder at least pays attention to the team. All of his decisions are wrong.
No,
Dolan doesn't care.
Dolan's hired guys to take in charge of the team, and they just haven't done
awful.
Well. So I would much rather have Dolan. It, just for anything else, is just to rock the blues. But no, Dan Snyder is terrible. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible. Unfathomably terrible. He's bad for the city. He like is corrupt. He's corrupt. He takes money from people. He gets tax money from people.
Remember, there was an all sports radio station that was criticizing
the
team. So Snyder bought
he
it.
He also bought a newspaper.
That's right.
If only he was as good as Donald Sterling.
And he had AIDS.
I'm not sure he's that much worse.
He's a business person. He's got AIDS.
I'm not sure that Sterling's that much worse. All right, we will return. No commercials, just the headlines. And then we take a dive down memory lane and relive some Tortorella moments as the Bruins start their series against Columbus tonight.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.